Good morning and welcome to our worship on this, the Epiphany of our Lord. This service is being brought to you by Trinity Lutheran Church, 1245 New Hampshire Street in Lawrence, Kansas. Our organist is Stuart Taylor, music director Megan McCoy, our lector is Marie Brockhoff, our assisting minister is Anne Brockhoff, one of our choral voices is Lucian Brockhoff, cantor is Eliza Brockhoff, Kevin Boatwright is our sound engineer and our photographer. We join now in confession and forgiveness. God of all mercy and consolation, come to the help of your people, turning us from our sin to live for you alone. Give us the power of your Holy Spirit, that we may confess our sin, receive your forgiveness, and grow into the fullness of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. We keep silence for personal reflection and self-examination. Most merciful God, we confess that we are captive to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. God, who is rich in mercy, loved us even when we were dead in sin and made us alive together with Christ. By grace, we have been saved. In the name of Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Almighty God, strengthen us with power through the Holy Spirit, that Christ may live in our hearts through faith. Amen. We join together in our gathering hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 665, Rise, Shine, You People. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all, and also with you. We join in the Kyrie, Evangelical Lutheran Worship, page 156.
Please let us pray to the Lord.
We join now in the Canticle of Praise, ELW, page 159. Let us pray. O God, on this day you revealed your Son to the nations by leading of a star. Lead us now by faith to know your presence in our lives, and bring us at last to the full vision of your glory through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 6. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For darkness shall cover the earth, and thick darkness the peoples, but the Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will appear over you. Nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look around. They all gather together, they come to you. Your sons shall come from far away, and your daughters shall be carried on their nurses' arms. Then you shall see and be radiant. Your heart shall thrill and rejoice, because the abundance of the sea shall be brought to you. The wealth of the nations shall come to you. A multitude of camels shall cover you, the young camels of Midian and Ephah. All those from Sheba shall come. They shall bring gold and frankincense and shall proclaim the praise of the Lord, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
The second reading is from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. This is the reason that I, Paul, am a prisoner for Christ Jesus for the sake of you Gentiles. For surely you have already heard of the commission of God's grace that was given me for you, and how the mystery was made known to me by revelation, as I wrote in the few words, a reading of which will enable you to perceive my understanding of the mystery of Christ. In former generations, this mystery was not made known to humankind, as it has now been revealed to his holy apostles and the prophets by the Spirit. That is, the Gentiles have become fellow heirs, members of the same body, and sharers in the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. Of this gospel, I have become a servant according to the gift of God's grace that was given me by the working of his power. Although I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to me to bring to the Gentiles of the news of the boundless riches of Christ and to make everyone see what is the plan of the mystery hidden for ages in God who created all things, so that through the church, the wisdom of God and its rich variety might now be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly places. This was in accordance with the eternal purpose that he has carried out in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have access to God in boldness and confidence through faith in him. The word of the Lord. Thanks to God.
We join now in the Gospel Acclamation, ELW, page 160. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" And then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overjoyed and overwhelmed. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage, and then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. A definition of Epiphany. Epiphany is called the Feast of the Epiphany, the Theophany, or the Three Kings, and it comes from the Greek word which means manifestation. It is a Christian holiday commemorating the first manifestation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, represented by the Magi, and the manifestation of his divinity as it occurred at his baptism in the Jordan River, and at his first miracle at Cana in Galilee. Epiphany is one of the three principal and oldest festival days of the Christian Church. The other two are Easter and Christmas. Roman Catholics, Lutherans, Anglicans, and other Western churches observe the feast day on January 6th, and while some Eastern Orthodox churches celebrate Epiphany on January 19th, since their Christmas Eve falls on January 6th. It is an amazing thing, this Epiphany, and it's a celebration that sometimes gets caught up, lost in the shuffle, because Christmas is such a big celebration, and the baptism of our Lord is a big celebration, so Epiphany sort of gets shoved aside. A few years ago, I happened to be in the Dominican Republic on the day that the community celebrated Epiphany. It was celebrated as Three Kings Day. There was a parade led by priests in their robes surrounding three huge statues of the three kings. They appeared to be made of papier-mâché. And people placed gifts, money, and other things on the platform that carried the three kings. And there were all kinds of foodstuffs being sold on the street. And the parade ended by a huge Catholic church. It was a festive atmosphere. There was lots of music. There was singing as the parade went along. There was some who danced. And then it stopped at the door of the church. And at that moment, my experience of this Epiphany ended, because there were armed soldiers at the doors, and they barred the way of the group I was with. I guess we were pretty obviously tourists. And the day was apparently Dominicans only. But the experience taught me something, that people celebrate the presence of God in the Incarnation in different ways in different parts of the world, and Epiphany comes in lots of different forms. According to the author and poet Maya Angelou, Epiphany is the occurrence when the mind, the body, the heart, and the soul focus together and see an old thing in a new way. Some epiphanies are indeed awakenings of life-altering revelations. And these often occur when someone is confronted by a certain image, detail, or situation, or they may be inspired by a previously unknown fact. For example, someone might have a health scare, and that leads them to the realization that a lifestyle change is necessary to prolong their life. Epiphanies can also be basic little aha moments akin to the small understandings people have daily in their life. These simple but insightful moments of clarity are part of the ordinary everyday structure of our living. And they can lead to changes in our behavior. My favorite quote about an epiphany is one that is a bumper sticker which I read a long time ago, and it says, "I'm one epiphany short of a paradigm shift." So today on Epiphany, let's prepare ourselves for a paradigm shift. For what seems like an eternity, Trinity Lutheran Church has been in the call process. The process is over. And along the way, the call committee has had its share of epiphanies as they have interviewed candidates and decided on a new pastor. The church council has had its own epiphany as they accepted the recommendation of the call committee and recommended to the whole church Jeffrey Alvestad as Trinity's new pastor. The congregation had its own epiphany as they accepted the recommendation of the church council and claimed Pastor Alvestad as their new leader. And the congregation welcomed with open and loving arms both Pastor Alvestad and his wife Candace to be part of the Trinity Lutheran community. One of the gifts of this series of epiphanies is that this incredible church has, in the process of these connected epiphanies, once again accepted God's call in this place to be the manifestation. Remember, that's what epiphany means, of the kingdom of God in this place. So as they have been in the past, but now with a new commitment, Trinity Lutheran Church will be the manifestation of the kingdom of God on Massachusetts Street. They will be the manifestation of the kingdom of God to the homeless. They will be the manifestation of the kingdom of God feeding the poor and welcoming the stranger. Trinity will express the kingdom of God in the work of Stephen Ministers and Link and Justice Matters and many more. Trinity Lutheran Church will engage in new visions of ways to be that kingdom as they engage in a partnership with their new pastor. The epiphany in Matthew's gospel is guided by a star. Just last week, the so-called Christmas star appeared across our hemisphere. Many members of Trinity Church spent time looking for that star, taking pictures of the star, and marking this Christmas by its appearance. Referred to as the Christmas star is the conjunction of Jupiter and Saturn. And this year, it's the closest the two planets have appeared together in about 800 years. And it won't occur again until 2080. It seems to me that the heavens have aligned for us to have an epiphany, a manifestation of the kingdom of God in our lives and in our world. We have had a difficult year. Pandemic and political struggle, tensions involving race and our own complicated history. But now comes the revelation. The Christmas star can be the sign that we have been one epiphany short of a paradigm shift, and that shift has arrived. For those of you who might not be acquainted with a paradigm shift, it's defined as a fundamental change in approach or underlying assumptions. In the past 6 months, the ways in which we have worshiped, they've changed. Changed because of the pandemic. The way in which we envision worship has changed. Pastor Alvestad will bring new ways of doing worship, making our paradigm shift an exciting new opportunity to challenge our assumptions and to be the kingdom of God in new forms in our community. Because of COVID-19, we cannot go back to the way things were. There may be months yet in our process of getting back to some form of in-person worship. And along the way, each and every one of us will have to change some of our approaches and our underlying assumptions. And as we change, there will be a myriad of exciting ways to change. As a church under the leadership of Pastor Alvestad, Trinity will discover new ways to do old things. So the word will be preached in new ways, and there will be new ways that will be discovered together to build relationships in community, new ways to accept new members from the community, and we will be constantly surprised by the ways in which God will work through all of us. Next Sunday, Pastor Alvestad will begin his ministry in this place. He's already begun with phone calls and Zoom meetings and moving into the parsonage and building relationships with people in the community of faith here. And together we accept the challenge to face the present and the future, guided by the presence of God. We are a church that has received an epiphany. The kingdom has been made known to us in the wonder of the Magi, the wonder of three foreign kings looking for God's manifestation in the world, a manifestation that came to us as a baby, born not just for the children of Israel, but for all the world's people. Epiphany is a time when we understand fully the manifestation of the presence of God in our lives and in the life of this church. Living the Epiphany will not be easy, but each day will be a new adventure in grace and love. The Epiphany, the manifestation of God in the world, has turned everything upside down, just like the pandemic. Because of that, we have the blessing of endless new beginnings, all because of the babe of Bethlehem. We have received the Epiphany. We have been given the joy of a paradigm shift. We have been given the wonder of having a new pastor. And once again, as a community of faith, with a new leader, we will discover the way in which God works in us, through us, and for us. Amen. Now we join together in our hymn of the day, ELW 308, O Morning Star, How Fair and Bright.
We read now the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Joining our voices with the song of angels, let us pray for the church, the world, and all who are in need. Glorious God, fill your church with joy. Let your faithful people live as beacons of your redemption. Give wisdom and courage to your church that it may speak with boldness and confidence, even when words of mercy are met with scorn. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Show us your faithfulness in the rising and setting of the sun. Place wonder into the hearts of those who search the skies and explore the heavens. Curb waste and pollution, that all might have clean air to breathe. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Bring all nations and rulers to the splendor of your dawn. Raise up advocates who champion the cause of exploited and vulnerable people. Inspire leaders to be generous with abundance, that all people might live in stability and freedom. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Come quickly with your healing power to all who seek love, support, and restoration. Dispel fears and shadows. Restore broken relationships and mend broken hearts. Bring relief to those who are sick or struggling. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. Send traveling mercies upon all who journey home by other roads. Guard refugees, immigrants, and asylum seekers. Protect families fleeing conflict in their homelands or abuse in their homes. Tend to those who have no place to lay their heads. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. According to the boundless riches of Christ, you draw all your saints, from the least to the greatest, to your heavenly places. As you created all things, make all things new again in the splendor of your glory. Hear us, O God, your mercy is great. God of mercy, come quickly to us with grace upon grace as we lift these and all our prayers to you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
At this point in our liturgy, we exchange God's peace with one another. And as we do so, and you say those words, the peace of Christ be with you always, think of someone in your life who is in need of an extra special measure of the peace of God. The peace of Christ be with you always, and also with you. Our liturgy takes us now to the offering, and at this point I would like to express my sincere thanks to all of those who have so richly blessed Trinity with their gifts, the support that we have received during no in-person worship has been extraordinary, and we give you thanks for that. We join now in the great thanksgiving. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior, Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. O God, most mighty, O God, most merciful, O God, our rock and our salvation, hear us as we praise. Call us to your table. Grant us your life. And so with all of the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And in the same manner, after the meal was finished, Jesus took the cup and gave thanks and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. This bread and this wine, these are the gifts of God for all of us, God's people. And everyone is welcome. We join now in Lamb of God on page 164. And now if you could find some bread and some wine or some grape juice, and in your homes, thinking of the words that we have just heard, take the bread and offer it to each other with the words, "Take and eat." And now with the cup, offer these to each other as well. Take and drink the blood of Christ. And now we join together in our communion hymn, Evangelical Lutheran Worship 520, "Dearest Jesus, at your word."
We give you thanks, gracious God, that you have once again fed us from your very self with the body and blood of Christ. Through this mystery, send us forth to proclaim your promise to a world in need, through the same Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
And now for the benediction. Almighty God, who sent the Holy Spirit to Mary, proclaim joy through the angels, sent the shepherds with good news, and led the Magi by a star. Bless us this day through the Word made flesh. Amen. We join together now in our sending hymn, ELW 268, From Heaven Above.
Go in peace, share the gift of Jesus. Thanks be to God.